right, happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. The Four Outdoorsmen is live on Total Bob Country. Boomer here, and to my left is producer Mark. To my right is a blank chair because wild card Steve Straczynski is duck hunting in Detroit Lakes, and he'll be checking in with us at around 6:40 p.m. tonight. What do you think
good
about that?
Good for Stru. When is he ever not here because he's hunting? That's usually worthy.
Usually he's golfing or he's or on traveling. A travel trip with his beautiful wife, Diana, right? And I tell you what a special time of year, Mark. Like, I'm running on fumes right now, just coming back from...
Boomer, you're always running on fumes.
Yeah, that's true. Always running around.
What do they call it? Burning the candle on both ends?
Yeah, and that's what fall will do to a person that's addicted to the outdoors. But my beautiful wife, Nicole, and I were out near Devil's Lake, North Dakota with some friends, Holly and Grant, doing a little duck hunting. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. You, in the last week, were out in South Dakota at a Bigwig Ron Shera production event, pheasant hunting, correct?
Yeah, it's one of the perks of the job. Every year we take a select group of clients to a hunting trip, and every year we take a group of clients to the fishing trip. It's the kind of thing you kind of expect when you advertise with Ron Shera Productions. So,
right.
I was lucky enough to be able to go this year. We went to Oak Tree Lodge near Clark, South Dakota. Now, this is my first ever South Dakota pheasant trip. I've been to South Dakota many times. My wife has family there and stuff, but I've never gone exclusively to pheasant hunt, and it was incredible.
Now, I know you were a little nervous going into this with your first time pheasant hunting South Dakota. I've had the pleasure to go out there a few times in the last, 20-something years.
Yep.
Most recently with Hidden Hill Lodge, beautiful place out there with Lori and Carla. And it really is the mecca for pheasant hunting. So walk our listeners through on Bob Country. We're talking to producer Mark, and he's sharing his South Dakota pheasant hunting adventure from last week.
Well, I kind of compare it to walleye fishing and bald eagle by my house and going to Canada fishing for walleyes. It's kind of like that, or Devil's Lake for that matter. Because, around here, you're used to working all day, and you might see one hen fly up or maybe get one or two roosters. But there, it's crazy. They're in parking lots. They're like chickens running all over the place. Now, I'm sure people will tease because they're, there is planted birds on a game farm. But we hunted wild birds and planted birds on a preserve, they call it there. A preserve is land owned by them where they can plant birds. So we got some time where we could just blast them and have fun, but then we did go on some wild sloughs that haven't been hunted at all, and you still see pheasants everywhere. It's just crazy. We've shot plenty of birds, but the only difficult we really had was the corn still up. So everything was so late, so a lot of the birds were flying into the cornfields, and we couldn't really get at them, but it was a truly, truly amazing. Anytime you can go pheasant hunting with Ron Shera, you're going to have a good time. Just all the stories and everything, and really, I hunted with three hosts of the Flush TV show, and the guys from Federal Ammunition were there. Great guys. My friends at B&W Trailer Hitches were there. My friends at Walton's were there. So it was a first. It's the kind of thing I could never do on my own, and I'm just lucky to be a part of. So unfortunately, I was the youngest guy by about 20 years. So guess who they put through the tall stuff and through the crap and. While the bosses were walking through, mowed fields, I was tromping through cattails. But I can't complain because it was a trip of a lifetime. It really was.
How many, when you think about pheasant hunting, and we had John Savad in here, professional guide, a couple weeks ago, it's really more than a strategy of walking through a field, right? It's breaking down the field, hunting crosswind, a combination of pointers and flushers, trying to push through the tall stuff till you get to what I call the thin or the skinny weeds where they're going to flush. Talk about some of the strategy you guys did for South Dakota.
Yep. So we typically try to have blockers down.
And what is a blocker?
Down at the end of the strip, someone would park, usually Ron, and just keep the birds from running across or running into another field or whatever, because pheasants like to run. Their first instinct is to run.
Right.
They really don't want to flush unless they're really, someone's right on top of them.
Because then they're visible.
Yep. So it's a lot like duck hunting too, where you're trying to time their patterns. They're going to spend time in the cornfields and then they're going to come back to the grass. So you're kind of trying to figure out the patterns. Wind plays a big factor. You know, so there's a lot of things going on. I tried to just kind of soak in as much as I could. A lot of guys, you know, knew what they were doing.
How many dogs did you guys run, Mark? And were they pointers or flushers or what kind of type?
So we had a couple different ones, mostly labs.
I saw Scott's labs.
Scott's has two great labs, Hank and Izzy, and they're both flushing dogs. We had some other dogs there. The guests brought some dogs, and they had some camp dogs too. So there was one pointer. It was mostly labs. I'm not very good with breeds like you are, but there was
probably
a, what do you have? You have a spaniel, right?
I have a Springer, Luma. Springer. So when we pushed in North Dakota, which we'll get into, she's a flusher. So they just kind of pound around, and when she's about to get on a bird, it looks like her tail is on Red Bull. It's wagging so hard.
I thought it was cool seeing a pointer and flusher work together because, you know, the old pointer would go up and point, and then the young lab would come barreling down and flush it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love that. I loved watching the dogs work. Unfortunately, Scott had to take his dogs into the vet because they got poked in the eye and they had to flush something out. But the dogs worked hard. Yeah, they're going to be okay. Went to the vet and they put some salve on it, but the dogs work hard.
So you got a couple pheasants?
Yeah, I got quite a few. You know, I've never really had a legit choke tube before.
Oh, yeah. Tell our listeners about your tube story.
I bought a Carlson choke tube because I lost my modified choke. So I've been hunting with a full choke for like a year.
And Didn't know it.
And I tore my whole house apart. So I went online, and one of our partners on the flush is Carlson choke tube. So I bought a Prairie Storm Carlson choke tube, an early season modified one.
Yeah.
I was hitting everything, man. It was such a difference. It's crazy.
That's awesome. For our listeners just tuning in, happy Sunday, the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. We're talking to producer Mark about his pheasant hunting trip recently in South Dakota. We're going to get into my beautiful wife and I, Nicole's trip to North Dakota near Devil's Lake duck hunting. Strew is out in Detroit Lakes duck hunting. He's going to be checking in at 6:40. And then we have a real special guest for all of the folks that are into waterfowl hunting, Tony Vandemore from Habitat Flats. I had a chance to go film him about a month or two ago for a trip to win with him. We'll get into that. He's going to be calling in from Missouri at 6:20. So, Mark, you got a new choke, made a big difference. What was the mixture of like hens to roosters or roosters to hens like?
Well, in the wild, it was 50-50 in the wild spots. And it was good to see a lot of birds, a lot of young birds, a lot of hens. So I think the population in that area was pretty healthy. Of course, when you're, you know, they only plant roosters when you're walking through fields, you know, on the preserve. But there was quite a few hens all over the place.
You know, one of the things I love about preserves and our new sponsor, Sandpine Pheasants, we've been out there a couple times for Bob Total Country, Reach for Resources. Sandpine Pheasants is a great place in Avon, Minnesota. They have 9 different fields. They have a variety of guide options that you can do. Keith runs a stellar operation, family-ran business. And when I trained Luma, and she's still in training, she's 1 year and 3 months, the first couple times, I took her to a preserve so she could build up her confidence. Yep. And so for our listeners who are tuning into Mark's story, if you're looking for a place close, check out Sandpine Pheasants in Avon, Minnesota. Mark, did you notice any difference from where the pheasants were on the preserve versus the habitat they were on in the wild?
Well, in the habitat in the wild, they're almost always down in the sloughs, you know, pretty concentrated. Because
thick stuff?
Yeah, thick stuff. Because some of the fields were, you know, harvested. So, you know, they're going to congregate where the brush is. You know, when you're on a preserve, typically they mow strips and have strips where they hide. So it's you know where they're going to be.
They're going to be in the sorghum, in between the corn, right?
There's going to be 4 or 5 roosters in every stretch. You know? So, but in the wild, you know, we walk through just plain grass fields. Usually they hunkered around structure, water. We found a lot of them around like little water puddles. They'd be around the outside edge. But they were, I mean, I'm telling you, they were all over the place. And I've never experienced that many pheasants.
Well, I tell you what, one of my favorite places to hunt for structure during the cold when the sloughs freeze up are those cattails right around the sloughs because they hunker in there, especially and when they're in between chisel plowed fields where everything's been harvested, because right there in the thick is where they're out of the wind, they're protected, and they can cover up. Now, Mark, we don't get to talk about the outdoors without some great sponsors. So I want to give a big shout out to Deadshot Custom Calls. I used that out in near Devil's Lake, North Dakota this weekend. I had some ducks quack them back and forth with me. It brought some ducks into the decoys. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, the waterfall, the migration is there. Fall fishing is hot, and ice fishing is going to be just amazing this year when you look at the reports. Alumacraft boats, they've been a part of our family for the last 6 years. They're a best aluminum boat in the market. Plus, you can save up to $2,000 right now with their best catch deal.
Nice.
Clam Outdoors, we're proud to bleed blue this year. And Blackfish Gear, performance apparel for that kind of transitional fishing, as well as, you know, UV protection. Mark, and then Sam Pine Pheasants in Avon, Minnesota. We also get our four outdoorsman shout-outs where, for a couple seconds of fame, our listeners just write in on our Facebook post for the Four Outdoorsmen shout out. And Mark?
Well, if you go to the Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page and comment on the Four Outdoorsmen shout out post, we'll try to get you read on air. First one is from my good friend Barry Larson. He says, a picture of a nine pointer in Aiken on Friday night. It's a nice deer, but it's not Barry in the picture. So I'm wondering who. If Barry took the picture or not. Mike Farrell, our good friend, says, brother Joe and I scratched up a few grouse this weekend. Deer camp is all ready for the next week. Best of luck to the Four Outdoorsmen crew and to everyone else. Shoot straight and be safe. And our friend John Marshall got out of the field. Caden, Doc, and I, two flushes, no birds. State land near St. Francis. So that's fantastic, and we have to talk about deer hunting season coming.
I know. I can't believe deer season is coming around the corner. I mean, with that being said, you know, we traditionally go up to our property up in Bacchus, Minnesota. I think you guys are going to be up there maybe sometime during the week. You guys are going to go to Strew's Hunting Shack near Ely. A good friend of mine, Thane Jensen and Mike Jensen, are going to be with me, as well as my dad. This is his property he's had for 30 years. But it's going to be really special this year for me, Mark, because my daughter, Sophia, even though she doesn't have her firearm safety certificate, she is going to be in the stand with me. She's been there for years past. And then Nicole and the rest of the family will join me on the second weekend. But deer hunting is such a rich tradition in Minnesota. Yes. I mean, kids are excused out of school. You'll see deer on the top of a car getting hauled home. I mean, it's really a rich tradition here. And I'm really excited this year because it seems like the population is a lot healthier, talking to Craig Enwall. And I know I'll be headed up next Thursday going through the ritual of checking the deer stands. You know, a couple of years ago, I ran into a little snafu with a porcupine. Me and him got in a little battle, but I did get him out of there. Our historic big buck on the north end of our land, he is apparently still there. So it's going to be exciting when I get up there on Thursday to see where the ruts are, you know, if they're in rut, if there's scrapes, you know, what's kind of going on. Deer hunting is just amazing, but I'll never forget the first deer I shot. And it was a doe that just came in and we heard it. Two other does came in, and I'll never forget that shot. My dad giving me a big hug, and that will always live with me forever. And the biggest buck I shot up there will always live with me forever.
Do you remember your dad's voice when you shot that and how proud he was? I remember my dad, and he was more excited than I was, and just that feeling of father-son moment when you shoot your first deer. I can't wait for that. I got a couple of years to go, but I can't wait for that moment.
Yeah, I remember the first thing my dad said after I shot is he goes, safety on, right?
Good call.
Click the safety on. And I sat there and I was just shaking. And maybe that's where my addiction for coffee came in. He goes, give it 30 minutes to calm down. Because a year before that, I was in a foxhole blind, which is just kind of wood placed strategically around the ground that you hide in. And my dad was in a deer stand, a tree stand, maybe 30 yards away. And I had one of the biggest bucks of my life show up, and I was shooting it with a 257 Roberts, but it was so close with the scope, all I could see was hair. I shot it. It ran off. I jumped up, dad, and we tracked it for 2 days. And it was a tough lesson learned, but yeah, for all the dads and kids that are going to be out there, or the moms and kids are out there, after you shoot that deer, take a breather, have a cup of coffee, mm-hmm, a cup of hot cocoa, and let it sit for 30 minutes. But I remember my dad giving me the biggest hug. And back then, we didn't have cell phones. You know, he had the old camera taking pictures. And that's a memory that's going to live forever.
Definitely, yeah. I'm really excited to go up to Ely and stay at Strew's Hunting Shack. You know how many stories we've heard over the years of the infamous
Hunting
Shack?
The Polish Palace.
The Polish Palace. So I'm going to head all the way up to Ely and walk state land, which I'm excited. It's going to be different for me because I'm used to hunting in tree stands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm used to sitting on my butt, and this is going to be more of a spot and stalk and walk around and a strew style, as we call it, because he doesn't like sitting at all.
No, no, no.
He likes walking. So I'm going to be strew styling it, walking around, trying to find a good spot. Maybe it, what was the name of that one spot he always said?
Oh, my goodness.
It was the Polish something,
the
right?
The Polish something, right?
Yeah.
Was it the Polish graveyard or no? Something. I remember that. That's what they called a spot I used to coyote hunt in Mississippi. They called it the graveyard, and it actually was a graveyard.
We'll ask him when he comes on. But I'm excited to walk some state land, you know, stay in a shack, a rugged shack. Where are you going to stay?
You know what? I think we're going to stay in some lodging that is nearby.
Okay.
We're still trying to figure that out. For folks that don't know, we're going to get into some more deer hunting when Strew comes on 640. I'm really excited. We're going to have waterfall iconic hunter, Habitat Flats owner Tony Vandemore on here shortly. But with that being said, you know, Nicole and I had a trip to go visit some friends near Devil's Lake. Tanner's out with his dad elk hunting out west. And for folks that don't know yet, the storms that are going through Saskatchewan are blowing in ducks. We literally, right south of Devil's Lake, saw tens of thousands of ducks, from pintails to big mallards, the green heads, those beautiful colors, to Canadian geese, to snow geese. They were all over. But now we got up there late on Friday night, and I had one day to scout and hunt 5,500 acres with my wife, who's just kind of getting into duck hunting, and her girlfriend, who was her first time. We had some luck, Mark, but I tell you what, it goes back to that whole strategy and that article that I was talking about with Wildfowler is really when we redo it again on that, you know, if the opportunity isn't so impromptu, spend a day to get out there and scout. And my favorite way to scout is jumping in the pickup truck with a thermos of coffee and my favorite glasses, and just looking for that X factor for where they go. Especially, it seemed like the snow geese in North Dakota. I couldn't compete with 2,000 snow geese. I mean, those big green heads from Saskatchewan would flock there. But we're going to talk more about that with Waterfall Iconic Hunter, Habitat Flats owner, Tony Vandemore, after break. So stay tuned for more from the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wildfowler. Wildfowler provides head-to-toe concealment in patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wildfowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wildfowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wildfowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Anglers and outdoors enthusiasts all share a common goal: staying warm, dry, and comfortable. Boomer here, and since you can't choose the weather, you can choose apparel that provides these benefits. Throw in the added value of style, you have the new lineup of Blackfish softshell outerwear. Designed for multi-season use, the Blackfish gear lineup of softshells includes jackets, bibs, and pullover hoodies. Utilizing premium fleece and state-of-the-art weatherproof fabrics, these soft shells are perfect for the spring and fall transitional fishing season. Blackfish was created for avid outdoorsmen and women, especially those that spend all day outside. With dependable outerwear, you can keep your mind off the weather and focused on the task at hand. So if you need all-day warmth and comfort, choose Blackfish gear, because you can't choose the weather. Blackfish premium soft shells are available now at a dealer near you.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there, I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
Hurry into Lowe's today for savings on everything you need to get started on fall projects, like overseeding and feeding your lawn. You'll find the lawn care products right for your area in stock at Lowe's, plus the know-how to help if you have any questions, like what to do now and what to do next. Plus, find savings to perk up your curb appeal with new mulch and fall plants. Whatever's on your to-do list, start now and save on what you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.
All right, welcome back this Sunday evening. Boomer here with the Four Outdoorsmen. To my left, producer Mark. We were just talking about his pheasant hunting adventure in South Dakota, my duck hunting adventure in North Dakota. The wild card, Strew, is out in western Minnesota duck hunting. We'll have a check-in from here around 6:40. But I tell you what, producer Mark, about a month and a half ago, you know, sometimes you get that phone call when you just have the biggest grin on your face. And I remember living down in Joplin, Missouri, and duck hunting like 40-something days in a row. And there was a guy there that we just idolized named Tony Vandemore. And when Chris called me from Copen Outdoors because of my outdoor marketing company, Blue 42, and said, hey, we have a chance to do this contest that includes Tony Vandemore, his state Habitat Flats, Benelli, and Heavy Shot, what do you think? And I just about freaked out and did backflips. So for our listeners out there who are tuning in on their way back from getting ready for deer camp or waterfall hunting or pheasant hunting, we have a treat for you tonight. Tony Vandemore is live from Sumner, Missouri. Tony, can you hear me?
I got you, Boomer. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, buddy. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. We are about 6 days out from our opener.
Well, Tony, I really appreciate you joining us tonight. To my left, the other guy that's going to be talking, he's our producer, Mark. We have another co-host, but he's out duck hunting in western Minnesota. Tony, I had a chance to go out there and film you and get to see your operation at Habitat Flats, and it is absolutely amazing. So, Tony, how did you come about being, you know, having 500,000 followers on social media, the waterfall ambassador for Cabela's, Bass Pro, Benelli? How did all this come about?
Wow, that's a good question. Really, well, I mean, it just came about from being very fortunate to hunt every day. And I love to take photos and videos and that sort of thing. And really just like sharing what I do with everybody out there. I mean, I think it's kind of all of our, you know, responsibilities as hunters and outdoorsmen to try to portray what we do in a positive light. And that's just kind of my on it and what I've done, you know, through the years. And people seem like, you know, they seem to like what I do, and they're intrigued with the things I get to see every day.
Hey, Tony, producer Mark here. And I think that has something to do with how passionate waterfowl hunters are, and they spot the real deal, and you certainly are that. What I wanted to talk about is what my favorite thing when I read about you, and I'm just starting to get into duck hunting, and it's just amazing all the stuff you have. You say there's farmers out there, but you farm ducks, and I just love that part of it. You know, everyone else is farming corn and everything, but you farm ducks. Can you talk a little bit about how you got into managing the land to optimize the ducks, and maybe we can go into some more details in a little bit of how you go about doing something like that?
Sure. I mean, I was lucky. I mean, I kind of came by it honestly. Like, my grandfather and dad and uncle said they took me to blind when I was in diapers for the first time. But my grandfather had a couple duck clubs growing up on the Illinois River, and my uncle actually managed a couple refuges in Illinois. I worked for the DNR. And, you know, seeing that and helping out through all that stuff, it really made me appreciate and respect the conservation part of it that goes into having a successful season. There's no better conservationists out there than hunters. I mean, we're the ones spending the time, the resources, the dollars taking care of the birds we love to hunt.
Well, Tony, I think it's pretty cool that you carry on that tradition, because, you know, following you on Instagram and getting to meet you,
The whole family is involved, from your wife, Kate, to the girls, to seeing Viv on her first duck hunt and her first pair of waders. How special was that to see Viv in her first pair of waders out there?
Man, that was one of the highlights of my hunting career. I've seen a lot of cool things. And I went in there that first morning, and, you know, it was early. It was like 4:30. I had to get to the lodge and meet all the guests and whatnot. And she was sound asleep, and I'll never forget. I went in there and just kind of rubbed on her shoulder. I'm like, hey, sweetie, you want to sleep in this morning, or do you want to go hunting with Dad and Kai? So what with Dad and Kai? I mean, she jumped out of bed, ran to the bathroom, started getting dressed. It was really cool.
Man, and Tony, you know, when I was down there in Sumner, Missouri with you, we were promoting the hashtag Hunt with Tony contest, where folks on social media can send an image to the Culpin Outdoors Facebook page with their favorite fall adventure, hunting, fishing, hiking, whatever it is, and then a little blurb about it with Hunt with Tony, and they can win an opportunity to get down to Habitat Flats. Tony, can you talk a little bit about the operations you have at Habitat Flats? Because when I was down there in Sumner, Missouri, it reminded me of, it wasn't like hunting on Stockton, but it reminded me we would go up there to try to chase those crazy teal. And then I know now you jump ship to get up to Saskatchewan. Can you talk a little more about what you guys offer at Habitat Flats?
Sure. You know, to start out, we've got lodges in Saskatchewan, Missouri, and Arkansas. So basically from the 1st of September until the end of March, we're waterfowl hunting somewhere. September and October, Saskatchewan's going. Early September, we've got our teal season in Missouri. You know, now we're just wrapping up Saskatchewan and getting ready for the Missouri opener next Saturday. And that'll run into January, and then we'll be shooting Canada geese and upland birds in January, and then that goes right into the snow goose season in Arkansas and Missouri. So it's kind of a whirlwind. I mean, it's 7 months of getting up and going hunting every day, which is pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool, Tony. And, you know, one of the cool things I saw is when we were getting out there ready to film with Tony, the habitat he has at Habitat Flats is so amazing. You know, I'm used to up here, like, everything's kind of matching. My face is painted black. Tony's up there in, like, a cutoff T-shirt. He got his green Habitat Flats. And the ducks were still zooming in, Tony.
Yeah, you know, especially teal. I mean, as long as you're still and somewhat hid, you know, they're pretty susceptible to decoys. But it changes a little bit during big duck season. Not a lot. I mean, I think, you know, if you know how to use your shadows, you know how to use the natural cover, you can get away with a lot less than what you think you need. But
so, Tony, you have a really impressive crew. I remember Ty. I remember Austin, our buddy Grinder out there. I mean, these guys, Mark, they work their butts off. Tony, how was the hunt up in Saskatchewan?
Man, Saskatchewan was awesome. It's just such a cool place. I mean, obviously the limits are liberal. You can shoot 8 Canada geese, 8 ducks, 5 sandhill cranes per person per day, and up to 20 snows when they're there. But it's different for us in Missouri. Like when it's duck season in Missouri, we're concentrating on ducks. They only give us 60 days. We're going to make every one of them count. You know, we'll shoot a few Canada geese occasionally while we're duck hunting, but when it's duck season, we're concentrating on ducks. Then we'll shift focus, concentrate on Canada's for 3 weeks. But what's so cool about Saskatchewan, it's all open at the same time, and they're all there in big numbers at the same time. So it's an awesome mixed bag hunt where you can shoot Canada's, snows, ducks, cranes, all in the same hunt.
Hey, Tony, Mark here. Is there a big difference in how you approach a hunt in Saskatchewan as opposed to Missouri? I mean, you know, is there a difference in how they act early in the season when they just start migrating?
Yes and no. I mean, they, you know, a lot of those birds, you know, you're right in the middle of the prairie pothole region up there where they're all raised. So, you know, some of them are just kicking the eggshell off their head. You know, they haven't seen very many decoys before. So they definitely decoy well. But that being said, it's primarily all dry field hunting up there. We'll shoot a few sloughs occasionally, but you have to be, you know, on the X. Scouting's the name of the game, and you've got to have, you know, good equipment and be in the right place. Whereas, you know, down in Missouri, we don't have to scout as much just because of, all of the management work we do in the off season. I mean, we're kind of, we know where the ducks are going to be based on where our food sources are and where in relation to the refuge. I mean, up in Canada, they're just coming from everywhere. There's so much water. Down here, you know, they're kind of coming from central refuges. And you can kind of make them come where you want through habitat management.
Well, Tony, talking about habitat management, we're talking to Tony Vandemore, a Habitat Flats owner, iconic waterfowl hunter here on the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country. Welcome everyone who's tuning in as they're getting ready for deer camp or done with their waterfowl or pheasant hunting or grouse hunting adventure. Tony, from the drone footage, when we were putting together the Hunt with Tony promos, which you can win a hunt with you at Habitat Flats by going to the Copen Outdoors Facebook page, sending in your favorite fall image. Don't forget to hashtag Copen Outdoors. Or Hunt with Tony, excuse me. It looked crazy, Mark. Like there was circles of waters that looked like, you know, like aliens, you know, like like someone would think aliens designed them. You know, like the old farmers, crop circles. Tony, how do you come up with the designs on where you're putting the wells and all of that when you're doing duck habitat management at Habitat Flats?
It's, it's just how my brain's wired. I mean, if I'm driving down the road, I look at a field and I'm kind of looking at the fall and which way the water would drain and how high the levee would need to be, where I'd want to blind. It's just kind of how I'm wired. But as far as like the mowing and opening up holes and where to put blinds, that's all based on, you know, for me, elevations. I think a lot of people take for granted how many of these ducks are eating bugs early in the year. You know, we cut them open the first 2-3 weeks of the season when it's warm, and they're just full of bugs. So by taking a mower in there, and this is natural, you know, natural smart weed, natural millet, stuff that comes up on its own just through a good moist soil drawdown. It's as cheap as it gets. All you got to do is take your water off at the right time of the year, and we're going to be blessed with good natural foods. But the good thing about natural foods is you can manipulate them. So, you know, before it's time to start pumping water, I'll go into my shallow areas and brush hog it, brush hog lanes and slot areas with little decoy pools. And that does, you know, it does a number of things. I mean, for one, it makes for good teal hunting. For two, you got a good place to put your decoys. For three, your bugs are going to do a lot better in horizontal cover, like mowed cover, than they will in standing cover. But also, you know, when we were kids, seem like, you know, you'd see the grand migration when you're out hunting. I mean, you just look up, just walls of ducks and geese coming. And the older I've gotten, it seems like the more and more they move and migrate at night. So you can have all the food in the world, but when they're flying at night, if they don't see a ripple of water in the moonlight, they don't know if to stop. So one of my big things with the mowing is I try to imagine what my farm looks like from the air, you know, what that footprint looks like. And I take that into account and try to mow off all the shallow stuff to provide good bug habitat, but also to make it showy from the air.
Wow.
Tony, what kind of stuff do you plant to attract the ducks?
We do, obviously, we'll do corn, do some soybeans, but we do Jap millet, some buckwheat. We've dabbled with some rice here and there. And we do, you know, a lot of just good natural millet and smart weed that we're controlling with a moist soil drawdown. And then obviously, you know, in your wetlands where you're doing those drawdowns, you'll get some invasive species, some unwanted species like spike rush. So, you know, we're disking those areas and spraying and planting in Jap millet, and just, it's always work. I mean, it is always work, but you know, that's the beauty of the management side of it is, duck season, though, doesn't last 60 days. I mean, it's 365 days a year. I'm either thinking about what I want to do, I'm doing the management, I'm hunting. I mean, it's just, there's something every day that's ducks.
Well, I tell you what, Tony, when I was in central North Dakota this weekend with my wife and we were doing a little duck hunting or waterfowl hunting, there was tens of thousands of waterfowl. There was snow geese, there was Canadians, there was mallards. You know, the wind always blows, we say, in North Dakota. I mean, it was just hauling. Are you starting to see some of that migration already trickle into Missouri?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we've had, it's been like everywhere. I mean, when I was in Saskatchewan, I left Missouri, it was 96 degrees, our second week of teal season. Got up to Saskatchewan, and I mean, we had like 6 inches of snow a couple of days later. It was 9 degrees for a low. I think the fall is definitely ahead of schedule. We've had a very cool October here in Missouri. We're sitting on a good number of birds already for this time of year, especially more mallards than normal.
Wow.
I think our local counts are over 100,000 already, which is, it's getting up there.
So, Tony, you know, we only have a couple minutes left. We're speaking to Tony Vandemore. We really appreciate you joining the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country tonight. Tony, when I was at Habitat Flats, it was absolutely an amazing experience. Take a couple minutes, if you don't mind, to talk a little bit about Habitat Flats, what folks can expect if you have openings this year and how they can get a hold of you guys.
Sure. I mean, what Habitat Flats was started on was our management practices. So what's unique about us is if you come visit us in the fall during duck season, oftentimes you're not going to see the same type of habitat for your 3 days. I mean, we've got managed moist soil marshes, flooded agricultural fields, willow sloughs, flooded green timber, dry field hunting. We've got everything under the sun that there is for duck hunting. We've got an excellent, beautiful lodge. The staff is awesome. The food, you're not going to lose any weight. I'm sure you can attest to that. But
the food was absolutely amazing. I mean, we were having... Oh, I mean, it was like cream-covered pork chops that were fried. We had homemade pizzas and buffalo wings. I mean, Tony, that was pretty amazing, the food.
Yeah, the girls do an awesome job. We're lucky to have them. But most of our packages are 3 days, 3 nights, lodging, excellent meals, all snacks, beer and wines provided. It's just a pretty fun atmosphere.
And, Tony, how can folks find Habitat Flats? What, you guys are active on Facebook, on social, website, all that good stuff?
We do. We've got Facebook and Instagram. Website is www.habitatflats.com. I'm easy to get in touch with. My email is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at habitatflats.com. My Instagram and Facebook pages as well. My cell phone, 660-973-3805.
Well, Tony, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. We might check in with you maybe as we get later into the duck season, just to see how the migration's going and how the duck hunt is progressing throughout the year for you guys, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that sounds great. I've been looking at the Copeland Outdoors Facebook page and a lot of good stuff coming in there. I hope you guys get a chance to submit a photo and make sure you hashtag Hunt with Tony, and it's your opportunity to win a hunt with your best friend to come down and see me in January, win a couple of Benellis and a lot of heavy shots.
All right, there he is, Tony Vandemore. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Boomer. Enjoy talking with you guys.
All right, well, there it was. If you did not hear that and you're just tuning into the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, you better catch the podcast when it comes out on Tuesday and Wednesday, because we had the man, the myth, the legend, Tony Vandemore on. Up next, we're going to be talking to Wild Card Strew about duck hunting in western Minnesota and deer hunting stories galore on the Four Outdoorsmen.
You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Anglers and outdoor enthusiasts all share a common goal: staying warm, dry, and comfortable. And since you can't choose the weather, you can choose apparel that provides these benefits. Throw in the added value of style, and you have the new line of Blackfish softshell outerwear. Designed for multi-season use, the Blackfish gear lineup of softshells includes jackets, bibs, and pullover hoodies. Utilizing premium fleece and state-of-the-art weatherproof fabrics, these softshells are perfect
for the spring and fall transitional fishing season. Blackfish was created for avid outdoorsmen and women, especially those that spend all day outside. With dependable outerwear, you can keep your mind off the weather and focus on the task at hand. So if you need all-day warmth and comfort, choose Blackfish, because you cannot choose the weather. Blackfish premium softshells are available now at a dealer near you.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there, I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
Hurry into Lowe's today for savings on everything you need to get started on fall projects, like overseeding and feeding your lawn. You'll find the lawn care products right for your area in stock at Lowe's, plus the know-how to help if you have any questions, like what to do now and what to do next. Plus, find savings to perk up your curb appeal with new mulch and fall plants. Whatever's on your to-do list, start now and save on what you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.
And we're back. Welcome, everybody, to the Four Outdoorsmen on this beautiful Sunday night. It's the week before deer opener. We're all pretty excited. And speaking of excited, we should have Strewman on the line. Strew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to your boss, Producer Mark.
Hey, buddy, how are you? It's hard to understand you from over here. But where's Boomer? I thought Boomer was the man.
Well, Boomer is right here. He had to take a Boomer bio break. But I'm back live, the Four Outdoorsmen, my Bob Country. I tell you what, Strew, you missed a really good pheasant hunting story from Mark at the beginning of the show, talking about the North Dakota duck hunting trip I had with Nicole. And then we had the iconic Tony Vandemore just on. But iconic is not the first word when I think of the wild card. I think of legendary wild card Strew. And, you know, most of the time when you're off location, Strew, you're traveling with beautiful Diana or golfing. But you are in the field right now, right?
I'm in the field with someone else who's very beautiful. I'm with Wade Ryan, and we're up at the Tamarack in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, trying to shoot a few ducks ourselves.
So what are you seeing, Strew? When I was in North Dakota, just south of Devil's Lake, we saw tens of thousands of ducks. What are you seeing in Detroit Lakes?
Very beautiful. Ryan from Detroit at lunch. He said it's really slow up here, and it has been slow. We saw some ringbills this morning, didn't shot. Saw some redheads flying way above the top of us, some swans, but nobody even fired a shot in my group, and we heard very few shots. So,
Strew, if you can hear me, you're moving around a little bit, and you're tough to hear. So we just lost Wild Card. We'll get him back on. You know, they're seeing very few ducks there. We talked to Tony Vandemore, and he is seeing a lot of ducks already migrating to Missouri. A lot of that can do with wind patterns as well, Mark, right? Like how the wind is blowing, because the ducks are going to follow that jet stream down. So we really hope that the wild card can get into them. But let's shift gears and talk deer hunting.
Yes.
That's coming this Saturday. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. Snuck up on you. It's been such a busy fall for me too, especially. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at him like, wait a minute, it's deer hunting opener. What am I going to do this year?
Yeah, you know, and I was checking the forecast, and it looks like it's going to be about a low of 24 in Bacchus, Minnesota, or 28 degrees, a high of 35 degrees. And a common question we get at sports shows when we're doing live reads or live shows is, when do deer go in rut? Just like kind of turkeys. Well, deer start to go in rut actually based on the moon cycle, right?
Ooh.
It really hasn't have to do with temperature. So it's going to be really interesting to see, because shame on me. Every year I say I'm going to get the cameras up there, I'm going to get everything done, and I don't. So Thursday, Sophie and Dad and I are going to get the opportunity to get back up there and see if they're in rut. But we'll be on the phone with each other, seeing what's going on in Ely. But Wild Card, are you back with us?
I am. Sorry about that. We're kind of driving down dirt roads here, not too far from the Tamarack near Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and lost you guys. But
Well, stop wherever you are because you sound really good right now, Stu.
Okay. I'm not going to move. I've got my right hand in the air, my left foot in the air.
Do you have a tinfoil hat on?
Yeah, I got it. I'm all set. Yeah. Anyway, and not a whole lot of ducks up here right now. It's just too beautiful. It was windier than hell this morning, but it calmed down. There were no clouds in the sky. We saw some ringbills early on, some redheads flying high above us, but never even fired a shot today. So hoping tomorrow's a better day.
So, Stru, man, tell us where you are, who you're with, and how did you get invited on such a duck hunt?
I'm a big shot. That's all. I'm a big shot. I'm with one of the four outdoorsmen. So Tony Sampier's family owns a place up here not too far from the Tamarack, and they've had it in this family for about 55 or 60 years. And I've known Tony Sampier for a long, long time. And last year he invited us up, Wade Ryan and myself up here. And you got to be kind of lucky to get up here because it's a special, special place. And this place has been in the family for 60 years. Seats about 10, 15 guys. And what's cool about it, whether you get a duck or not, he hires a chef every year
Wow. To
do all the cooking. And I'll tell you, there's 5 and 6 course meals with wine and cheeses and vegetables and fruits and the whole ball of wax. And the last night is going to be a real nice duck dinner this guy makes. So I'm looking forward to that as much as I am shooting a duck.
Hey, did you get a chance to have lunch with Brian from Deadshot Custom Calls?
I did. It was wonderful. As a matter of fact, he's coming tomorrow night here. I talked to him and talked to Tony Sampier. We've got about 10, 15 duck hunters up here. So Brian's going to come here and bring all of his wares, Brian from Deadshot Custom Calls, and show us some of the things he makes. And we had a great lunch and a lot of great conversation. So he's going to spend about half an hour with us during happy hour tomorrow night.
Well, that's always the best time to meet somebody. So we hope you get some ducks. So you can talk about them, but what I'm really excited for is you are going to be my host at the Polish Palace this year for deer hunting. What do you think about that?
I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to that and showing you the Polish Palace, and you're going to work your ass off. This is not 40 acres of farmland. You're going to walk up through ridges and swamps, and so we're going to put you on a big workout for a day and a half there up there by Lake Vermilion at the Polish Palace. I'm looking forward to that.
So are
too.
You going to sit on your butt while I tromp through the rough stuff, pushing stuff towards you?
That's the plan, pal. That's the plan.
What is the name of that one famous spot where you always shoot everything?
Oh, the Greek Stand.
Greek Stand, that's it.
Oh.
I knew it was some sort of ethnicity, but
I think I shot between probably 35 deer at least up in that area. And I know for a fact I've gotten at least 15 or 16 off the Greek Stand. It's just a little log sitting over a ledge, and it goes over a swamp on the northeast corner of Bass Lake, and it's just been a gold mine for me. But they've done a lot of logging up there, so things have changed, so who knows? I haven't hunted up there in a couple of years.
Well, Stru, we got to figure out a time that you and Marky are going to be up there, you know, for the remainder of the season with us, because we usually hunt together back at our private property on Backus, Minnesota. And it looks like the forecast is going to be a low of 28 to a high of 34. I don't know what the wind factor is. I hope it's not going to be too windy because, as we know, with the wind, deer like to shelter down, right?
Yep.
Because they can't hear, they can't see, and it just becomes very confusing for them, and they don't like to move. But it's going to be a special year for me, Stru, because Sophie is going to be back in the deer stand with me. I love her to death. She's got a chip off the old block fever about buck fever. Stru, our style of hunting at Backus is we sit in the stands and we wait for them, right? We put them on strategic trails that are related to food plots and sloughs based on our, 150 acres. You're hunting on public land. You're not going to be sitting. What is your approach for spotting and stalking?
Well, I've been up there for about 15 years or so. When I was 15 years old, I started hunting up there. So I know the land really, really well. And I know spots that I like to go to on a regular basis. So I will go to my spots, maybe sit for a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. Nothing's happening, mosey on to the next spot. So I like to do what the old man used to call still hunting and pussyfooting. And I don't have the patience to sit for hours, I just don't have the patience for that. So I like to make my rounds, but slow down, hunt very, very slowly, and go to the spots that I'm comfortable with, and I've had success as well. And that's my plan, and I'm excited about doing it.
How many times have you, or what percentage of the time, Have you spotted a deer on a walk and actually shot while on a walk and not sitting in a stand?
That's a great question. Again, out of 35 to 40 deer or so, I probably might have shot eight, maybe 10 deer, but I think that's probably too high, maybe eight when I was stalking. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more satisfying than sneaking up on one, jumping it out of bed, and seeing it before you sees you and dropping it down. That's really a thrill. I think, me personally, I think that's really a hunt. And
now, Stru, does
that... It's exciting, it's hard.
Now, I know you've shot, you know, 10 out of 40 spotting and stalking, and, you know, I know on our deer hunting property, we have more of, you know, you sit in the stand, you wait for the big slew bucks. Is it an advantage being 4'8" to stalk and spot the deer?
Yeah. Is there an advantage being an a-hole? I don't know about this.
Yeah, at 6'4 and 300 bills, I don't think I'm going to sneak up on anything. So hopefully you can find me a great spot.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'll put you down and walk around you, and I'll try to push something to you. And what you're going to like about it is that you see nobody up there. You'll
That's
see
awesome.
Nobody for the entire day in the woods. It's all you and the deer and the wildlife and your Penthouse magazine. I know you real well. So,
is there any reception up there?
Yes, there is. Yeah, occasionally.
So you can Facebook while you deer hunt and spot and stalk.
Yeah, you got to go up to the high ridges up in Bass Lake and get a little reception sometimes. But yeah, there is sometimes.
No, Stru, you know, I appreciate you being a good sport with my question. But in a serious note, I'm not sure where the rut is at up north, and I know you've been working on the Polish Palace. Have you seen any scrapes or any rubs up there so far?
No, but I'll tell you what. I talked to my buddy Gene Schoenfuss from Czech, Wisconsin 2 days ago. His daughter got her first deer with a bow, a nice big doe, he said, and he has, in the last 10 days, seen scrapes and rubs in Czech, Wisconsin, just north of Czech, Wisconsin. So if they're down here, you know, a little bit further north of us than where we are, you guys are, I'm sure that's happening up in the Ely area as well. So I think the timing is just about right.
So, Struman, what should I bring on this adventure? Obviously, I got my gun and my blaze and my license. You said something about a compass. Can I just use my GPS, or do I need to buy a compass?
Sure, you can do that, yeah. But I'm old school, man. I'm going to put I always bring two compasses. I don't trust anything up there. And that's the truth. And I've been up there a long, long time, and I still bring two compasses. But, you got to be safe. I got some news for you, Mark. Did you hear about the Packers and who they played today? The Rams.
They played the Rams. I see they just lost.
29-27 on a field goal with about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left. And then when the Rams kicked off, the guy who took the ball back from the kickoff, fumbled it, and the Rams recovered. The game is over.
Thanks for reliving my nightmare.
Yeah, boy. Hey, listen, boys. Hey. I'm back at camp right now, and that 7-course meal is waiting for me at the San Pere place up here in the Tamarack area, Detroit Lakes. I'm going to go have myself a glass of wine and some dinner. You guys have a great evening, and I listen to quite a bit of the show, as a matter of fact.
Well, we love you, Stru. We're going to miss you. When Stru says a 7-course meal, that means 4 brandies, and then that starts with his meal with the 3 on entry.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us, Wild Card.
I'll be 4:11 by the time I get back. Talk to you guys later.
God, I love that guy. Isn't he great? Great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to give it a shot. And what I'm looking forward to is kind of creating my own deer hunting tradition with my own family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we had that growing up. It was we hunted a place called Sauk Prairie. It was along the Wisconsin River. And it was just a place that I went with my dad every year. And it was our tradition, setting up camp, doing all that stuff. And I'm really excited to kind of start those traditions with my family.
Well, you know what? It's been such a tradition in my family, with my mother being a taxidermist, my dad career in the service, and then guiding and being a pressman. And, you know, I've been in the stand with them since I was like 7 years mm-hmm. old, and just sitting there. And, you know, part of it, even with Sophia now, is, you know, at some point I got so bored with my dad. I said, Dad, can I start making bird calls to make it more realistic? And even though it was going to scare every deer off of our property and probably off of the county line,
yeah,
My dad let me do it, right? And those are things I remember about my dad. So even when Sophia wants to get on the buck grunt call from Madison Game Calls or whoever gave us those years ago, you know, go ahead, honey. You know, have fun with it. But I'll never forget the time that Sophia first saw that eight-pointer a year ago that I had the opportunity to either shoot it, Mark, or say, Sophia, look over here. And I felt like the old man was on my shoulder saying, let her look. And she creeped over on the stand, poked her head up over the wood, and she saw it, and her eyeballs got as big as quarters. And she's like, Dad, that's so cool. Get ready. And then it jumped down back into the swamp. But I'll never regret that moment, you know, that, you know, that she then had the fever. She then had the addiction to get back out there. And, you know, she just sent me a text with a picture of Grandpa, I and her out there in the deer stand. And that family tradition, I think, is why it's so important to the state of Minnesota, because you grow up doing it and it just lives within you as it passes on. This deer season's going to be, you know, I think the population is up. Talking to Greg Engwall, you know, I always judge on looking at the different zones and sections. It looks like a lot more of them are hunter's choice versus lottery. So I think a lot of folks are going to have success this year. I wish you guys, you know, the best of luck. You know, the blaze orange is a huge piece. You know, speaking of safety and getting that in your kids' heads is really important. And, you know, as Tony talked about with Viv bringing her out to the duck blind, opening morning, you know, I'm going to make sure we get Sophie out there and up and going to know the importance of opening morning. But honestly, if Sunday morning comes around and she's like, Dad, I'm kind of tired. Okay, honey, let's go get a bite to breakfast in Walker, Minnesota and relax, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you know what? Talk about a lost art with kids these days is being able to sit still for hours on end and enjoy nature. I mean, that's just something that you're never going to get anywhere if not in a woods or hunting or whatever. So what a great thing to teach your kids to put down the phone, listen to nature, watch the sun come up, and just take some time to reflect on yourself.
So we got 2 minutes. Besides your gun, your ammo, your license, and your blaze orange, what are two other things and your phone Mark's going to have in his little fanny pack?
Two other things. Well, I have my buck knife, right?
Yep.
For when I actually shoot and I'm really getting into food processing. So I want meat. I want meat in the freezer. So if it's brown, it's down for me because I want to fill the freezer. Also a good snack, you know, sitting around and walking around all day when it's cold. You need to keep on your game. So usually a candy bar to pep me up or something.
Yep. I'm going to add two things to that.
Okay.
One is going to be a pee bucket.
Okay.
And two is going to be toilet paper.
Good call.
Yeah.
Or wipes.
Man wipes.
Man wipes are Man way wipes better are than toilet key. Paper.
Yeah, they're better than toilet paper. Well, with that being said, we're wrapping up the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Boomer here. Don't forget to catch the podcast. We had a great episode talking about Mark's hunting adventure in South Dakota, my duck hunting adventure in North Dakota, Strew duck hunting in Detroit Lakes, special guest Tony Vandemore from Habitat Flats talking about the Copen Outdoors, Hunt with Tony contest, duck hunting in general, and don't forget, good luck deer hunting and get outdoors.